MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Thursday, January 11, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Bourne. Today's headlines: reports say Bill Belichick and the Patriots are parting ways. There's another effort underway to better train workers for North Shore businesses, and we'll hear from Essex County DA Paul Tucker.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we have some results from high school hockey and a high school track note. Rick?
Very good, thanks, Bill. Mix of clouds and sun today, low 40s. High tide Gloucester Harbor, 10:39 a.m. and 11:21 p.m. Reports broke this morning that New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick and the Patriots are parting ways. After a 4-13 season and a Monday meeting with team ownership, it now appears that the Patriots will have a new coach for the 2024 season. Leaders from three area colleges, as well as Essex Tech, presented to this week's North Shore Chamber of Commerce Breakfast a plan to better prepare workers for the North Shore. Paul Layton writes in today's Salem News that Salem State, North Shore Community College, Montserrat College, and Essex Tech were represented. Area business leaders are desperate to hire qualified employees. Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker was a guest this week on the Lynn TV program, The American Dream, hosted by Lynn attorney James Carrigan. Tucker noted that since he took office, he has tried to make his office a resource to the community.
We've done everything from town halls to meeting with school superintendents to supporting the Gloucester Police Department with a fishing program for youth up there. So many of these things we've done. We've worked with folks, the elderly folks, making sure that they're not victims of scams, people with substance use issues and mental health. And we've done a lot of those good things.
Tucker also spoke of a word heard around law enforcement.
When we see people that enter into the system and then keep coming in and out, revolving door, we hear a lot about revolving door. You know, I heard the expression rinse, wash, and repeat. You just keep seeing the same folks coming over and over again. I view a lot of the job that we do at the DA's office is disrupting that, stopping that. And there's a couple of different ways to do it. One is trying to keep people out of the system at the very, very beginning. What we know is this. We know exponentially the statistics will show that the longer we can keep somebody out of the system as they get older, their chances of becoming justice involved are very, very low. We also know that young people who enter the system, if they come in and they end up getting arraigned and end up with a record, again, there is a very high rate of those folks that are going to keep coming back into the system. What we're trying to do is stop that on both ends. At the beginning, and if somebody does come into the system, try to find a path to success for them so they don't come back in.
Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker appearing on The American Dream on LynnTV.org. And the city of Lynn is looking to add security cameras in public areas throughout the city. The Daily Item is reporting today that Lynn Police Chief Christopher Reddy says the goal is to install 50 security cameras throughout the city to not only identify individuals, but also track vehicles and read license plate numbers. The Gloucester Fire Department responded to the report of an outdoor fire Wednesday afternoon near Good Harbor Beach. When firefighters arrived at the scene, they found something entirely different, according to Chief Eric Smith.
Overall, it was, you know, very impressive for people that drove by and called it in. A couple of motorcycles parked outside of the structure that somehow caught fire, you know, with the weather we had yesterday and water and batteries and all those things, it's hard to determine. I mean, the motorcycles were completely destroyed, so there's nothing there really to provide as evidence, as a clue. But that was certainly the origin of the fire. It was called in as an outdoor grill fire, you know, outside the home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we responded with the impression, oh, okay, somebody was probably using their grill, maybe because they lost power, who knows? And it turned into, oh, yeah, actually, no, this fire's got the front of this house going pretty good and breaking windows and starting to move into the roof structure and into the inside the property instead of being outside. So that kind of changes the game quickly and goes from, you know, a standard response, you know, for a report of an outside fire to a full structure fire response that adds in additional vehicles. So instead of, you know, two engines, a ladder truck, the shift commander, and the rescue, now you're adding on, you know, boat port immediately responding to provide EMS standby because our folks on the ambulance are putting on their firefighting hat mm-hmm. and going to work on that unless they have immediate medical needs for folks on scene, then they're in gear to just do firefighting and boat board to come in and handle any other things that may transpire, especially with my folks, you know, getting hurt on the job. That's really the bigger focus, because if it's an EMS related issue up front, you know, that's the priority and our folks are going to handle it, versus, you know, dealing with the firefighting directly. The rest of the response will handle that and pick that up, so we're going to lose a couple of hands. But yeah, that, you know, it adds on another engine and rotates the outskirt engine to cover headquarters, pulls Rockport in to help cover the rest of the city with their engine. So once we have a declared working fire, which is a actual structure that's burning, not something as we got initially reported.
Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. And the Gloucester Lobstermen and the Massachusetts Lobstermen's Association have dropped a lawsuit against a California aquarium after the aquarium said people should not buy and eat lobster because of the impact to the North American right whale. The Gloucester Times reports that the suit was dismissed after both sides agreed to end the dispute with prejudice. The aquarium had stated that the lobster trap lines were the issue and that their free speech would be denied from the lawsuit. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage, giving voice to North Shore newsmakers. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. At the Garden last night, it was a clash with two of the top NBA teams. And after one overtime, it was the Celtics beating the Timberwolves 127-120. Jason Tatum with 42 points. The Bruins were off last night. They play at the Golden Knights tonight at 10. We have a complete local sports scoreboard from last night up on the website with scores from all around the North Shore. But here are a few of the hockey scores. In boys hockey, Winthrop beat Gloucester 5-3. The Vikings' last goal was an empty netter, so this was a very close game down in Winthrop last night. Other winners included the Prep, Danvers, and Beverly. In girls hockey, Gloucester, Peabody, Marblehead, and St. Mary's were all winners. In boys high school winter track, two of the area's top teams meet today at 4:30 when Peabody plays at Beverly. This is Beverly coach Sean Dunleavy on his top hurdler, Leo Sheriff.
Well, I mean, Leo, you know, from when he first started coming out for the track team, I mean, he had a lot of potential, just raw talent, and it's a matter of just getting him to work on his technique work. And basically, it's probably in the spring of his sophomore year where all of a sudden it started coming together for him. He won the NEC conference in outdoors, and then this past season in the spring he won it again, and now he just continues to make these gains that are just unbelievable. You know, he came into the season just looking like he was in better shape and looking that like he had gotten faster, and you know, I'll chalk that up to a maturity part on his part, maybe hitting the weight room a little bit, which is so significant. And in his first meet of the year at New Balance, he not only set the school record for the 55-meter hurdles, but he also qualified for the New Balance in the Nike National Championships in March.
Beverly Boys track coach Sean Dunleavy. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and be sure to keep listening for North Shore Today Extra. A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company Exo Bath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're talking now with Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. And Chief, it looks like the fire department did a pretty quick and great job today avoiding further damage to a house near Good Harbor Beach.
Yeah, we did. And when I say we, I say that very loosely. So our people on the street did, and I showed up after to kind of observe and take a few pictures because they didn't need my help. They had it well in hand. So overall, it was, you know, very impressive for people that drove by and called it in. A couple of motorcycles parked outside of the structure that somehow caught fire. You know, with the weather we had yesterday and water and batteries and all those things, it's hard to determine. I mean, the motorcycles were completely destroyed, so there's nothing there really to provide as evidence, as a clue. But that was certainly the origin of the fire. It was called in as an outdoor grill fire, you know, outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we responded with the impression, oh, okay, we got to... Somebody was probably using their grill, maybe because they lost power, who knows, and it turned into, oh, yeah, actually, no, this fire's got the front of this house going pretty good and breaking windows and starting to move into the roof structure and into the inside the property instead of being outside. So that kind of changes the game quickly and goes from, you know, a standard response, you know, for a report of an outside fire to a full structure fire response that adds in additional vehicles. So instead of, you know, two engines, a ladder truck, the shift commander, and the rescue, now you're adding on, you know, boat board immediately responding to provide EMS standby because our folks on the ambulance are putting on their firefighting hat mm-hmm. and going to work on that. Unless they have immediate medical needs for folks on scene, then they're in gear to just do firefighting and boat board to come in and handle any, you know, any other things that may transpire, especially with my folks, you know, getting hurt on the job. That's really the bigger focus because if it's an EMS-related issue up front, you know, that's the priority, and our folks are going to handle it versus, you know, dealing with the firefighting directly. The rest of the response will handle that and pick that up, so we're going to lose a couple of hands. But, yeah, that, you know, it adds on another engine and rotates the outskirt engine to cover headquarters, pulls Rockport in to help cover the rest of the city with their engine. So it just, once we have a declared working fire, which is a actual structure that's burning, not something mm-hmm. as we got initially reported as an outdoor,
you know,
grill, that obviously is a big difference.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird that, yeah, you expect an outdoor fire, like if it's a grill or something like that, you can take care of it, you can take care of the surrounding grass or whatever it is, but the pictures provided by your department, it shows much more a serious problem than that. And with the motorcycle, the picture I'm looking at has one of the firefighters throwing some stuff on the motorcycle, but Deputy McRobb is up on a ladder, and this thing, it looked like it blew out a picture window. It destroyed part of the siding and went all the way up to the second floor.
Yeah, so that, you know, once that... You know, motorcycle obviously has got a lot of petroleum products, you know, involved in what's there. So tires, the fuel load, and everything else that's involved in the construction of those, it's all very flammable. Obviously, the metal structure is not, but I think we had some magnesium parts, and that metal got hot enough, and magnesium burns when it's hot enough, and so that ignited, and that's a very hot fire when metals are burning. And so it changes the game significantly when you're going, you know, when you have a grill, right, that is designed to have a fire within it and contain it, that typically it's just, you know, the grease and drippings, you know, might get away from somebody, or maybe there's a propane leak and it's burning underneath the firebox. So it's typically a very controlled thing, and this obviously wasn't that. And we see the effects of that kind of free-burning fire up against a wood-shake home. And so it's, you know, fortunately, you know, it's close enough for us and a quick response and easy access from the outside to knock that fire down before it really did a lot of damage and got into the structure of that building and really took hold of the framework and interior of that building and created more damage. So... Great job by all the folks that responded. You know, we unfortunately with the construction and roads downtown and just typical daytime traffic and all of the things that are typical in our day and our response getting down there with those obstructions and traffic, kind of slows us down a little bit, but fortunately it didn't make a, you know, significant change in this. So all the occupants were out or not home at the time, so there's no injuries of the public. There's no injuries of any of my folks. If there was, they're minor, and I'll hear about it tomorrow that somebody got a boo-boo. But, okay. You know, it's nobody had to go to the hospital, knock on wood. So,
well, the other thing...
Been a busy week this week, I would say, for our folks with, you know, not just the usual, you know, typical everyday events, but, you know, we don't get a lot of work in fires. We had the one over on Holly Street the other day, and half the roof blew off on the mill condos last night, creating havoc for those poor residents that have to deal with that, and our folks getting up there to try to, you know, assist them and make sure that that isn't going to create a larger hazard. You know, you get large debris coming off a roof that's 70 feet up, yet you're creating life risks and hazards. So they were pretty busy in the early hours of this morning during the storm out there in the rain and the wind, trying to manage that to the degree that we're able. So
where was that, Chief? Where was that?
That was right over at 33 Maplewood, right across from McDonald's.
Oh my!
Near over at the mill building there.
Yeah, that's highly densely populated over there. Yeah.
It is. So, yeah, things coming off the roof are problematic. I mean, we had a lot of the cornice up there that's all masonry work on that old building, you know, got pulled off when the roof was damaged, and the membrane and how they attach it, it ripped out chunks and sections of the masonry work that littered down and was breaking through skylights and decking and below. Thankfully, you know, that kind of weather, not very many people are out. Nobody was out at the time. So nobody got hurt, which is good, but... you know, those poor folks have some pretty extensive damage, and as we all know, you get water coming in from the roof of your home and running down through your home. It creates a lot of problems. So we're helping them through at least the initial phases of that, but you know, now it becomes a restoration project.
Wow. A couple of other quick questions, Chief. You mentioned several obstacles to battling a fire in this particular month of January. Obstacles on the roads and, of course, the weather. But also, you and your staff, you have to deal with, and the police department as well, with the flooding that's going on in Gloucester this day on, what do we have here, Wednesday, and you have to place apparatus or have them all over the place.
Yeah, so for us, I mean, you know, our operations out of the four stations where we're positioned, you know, the community was pretty well thought out in where our forefathers have placed those facilities, you know, those fire stations, you know, both downtown. I mean, we're kind of in a tight neighborhood, makes it a bit tough, but, you know, so long as we can get out of the neighborhood pretty easily, we make pretty good times getting to our first two areas for the headquarters response area, as is the case for, you know, West Gloucester, Bayview, and Magnolia. So, you know, we're pretty well positioned. We're, you know, this city used to have a station over in the East Gloucester area to help with response times over there. But, you know, it's the costs of staff and stations and 24-hour operations are extremely high. And so, you know, we're about as good as we can be in the economic condition that we are for staffing, response time. So we do pretty well, you know, in that. But, you know, with all the construction that's always going on, right, we have a major project across the street, the YMCA building that was raised, and they're rebuilding that into a housing project over there. You know, those things slow you down whether you want them to or not. And then on this particular day, you know, not only that, but some of the other road work that's taken place kind of got in the way a little bit, you know, added a little bit of time to that response. Like I said, it's fairly marginal. We're still getting there within reasonable amounts of time and well within national, you know, national standards of what are recommended. But, you know, just things for people to think about when you're in those construction areas, you got to understand that if you position your car poorly and you're now boxed in, or you're creating kind of a traffic snarl with, you know, where you've got yourself, you know, if we show up behind you, we're all stuck. And, you know, there may be some kind of big deal on the other end of that. So, you know, the usual things. If you can avoid those areas, if you can just stay out of those areas and find a better way around, especially in the downtown core right now where it is so much activity, you know, I would just, you know, remind residents to do what you can to find the best way to get there on more open roads, because if we have to respond and we're out on the streets every day all the time, we're pretty busy, that, you know, it's inevitable that we get kind of hemmed in behind traffic that's held up for all of those reasons.
Well, I think it's important to get that word out, because a lot of roads in Gloucester, a lot of streets in Gloucester are very, very narrow to begin with. And as you say, with the construction going on, I think people should probably pay attention as to where they're parking and think about, hey, you know, what if an emergency vehicle needs to get through here? Final question, Chief. Actually, two final questions. Number one, it looks like the main structure of the fire over on Atlantic Ave is okay, so it looks like it's habitable. And nobody hurt? Your firefighters are okay?
Yeah. So none of the residents suffered any injuries. I don't think everyone was even home at the time, which is good. But I haven't read that report, and I didn't get all that firsthand from the residents. They were busy with my folks getting their information, so I'll get caught up on that myself. But yeah, the structure certainly took some damage. It's going to take some repairs. I mean, the windows are out. You know, those failed due to the heat from that fire outside, and they did get smoke and heat on the inside. So there is definitely work to be done. The folks that live there are going to be out for, you know, some significant amount of time in that first unit, unfortunately, because none of that stuff moves quickly. You know, the insurance company's got to be involved in inspections and permitting and to whatever degree is necessary. So, but it sounds like that they have a place to go, so good. They're taken care of.
Okay.
And I don't think that they had a lot of their personal possessions, you know, damaged, which is the most difficult for most folks in a fire, right? You lose things that are irreplaceable. So I don't think that happened, which is awesome. So hopefully they'll be made whole quickly and get back in, you know, at least if not there, somewhere else where they're comfortable. Obviously, it's winter, and we know how the housing situation is, so it's never good when folks are getting displaced.
Well, typical great job by the Gloucester Fire Department. And finally, Chief, you mentioned something about batteries, weather, and stuff like that. And I know that the cause has not been determined, and I'm not asking about that, but is there some kind of thing that we should worry about in terms of a vehicle like a motor scooter, a motorcycle, mobilized scooters that people have and they stand up on, with respect to batteries and weather?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, with the weather in particular, with the freeze-thaw, freezing conditions, you know, if you're leaving things out in the environment, they should be prepped to you know, make it through that particular season without any issues. You know, if batteries drain, lose their power, you know, and they go dead, they're going to freeze. When they thaw, if it's a lead acid battery or other chemical composition, that may begin to leak and create other hazards or issues wherever it is. Maybe very minor and just for the owner of that thing if they come in contact with it, but just things to think about. You know, if you're getting condensation in the fuel tank and it gets in your fuel lines, it's going to cause you problems with your motor. So, yeah, from just the overall maintenance and doing the right thing for yourself, people need to, you know, kind of take a look at it. But from the risk management of, okay, if I'm not maintaining it properly, could it lead to a fire or lead to some kind of leak of something that is not healthy for either the environment or people, that could have easily been mitigated, right? You know, the old ounce of prevention thought process needs to kind of be in play, especially for things that are stored. So I don't know that was the case for these vehicles. My opinion on their location is that, you know, it's something that can burn, and obviously its proximity to the building led to it, when it caught fire, it set fire to the building. Obviously, that's too close. If we can find a better place for it, that's what we ought to do. But that's not always the case of what people can do, right? I mean, and if you have a garage and you park your car inside of it and something fails with the car and it catches on fire, your garage is going to burn. And if the garage is attached to your house, it's going to affect the house. So obviously everybody's living condition is different. What space you have available for storage and whatnot, it is all you can do. We just remind people that, you know, it's your property. You should make sure it's being maintained properly and effectively and safely to the degree that you can. And if you can't, find a better location for it or get it replaced. You know, you did mention the scooters. You know, those lithium-ion batteries are awesome. We all have them in everything from cell phones to laptops to, you know, whole banks and piles of them in your EV cars. And now we're starting to see a lot of power systems in people's homes, Tesla walls and other, you know, battery storage systems, energy storage systems inside homes and businesses that have become, you know, one of those things that you can do. With storage systems in homes, there's pretty restrictive regulation on them if they're done with proper permitting, so they're fairly safe in how they're installed. But, you know, there's folks that are buying portable systems that are pretty large, pretty robust, they kind of fall in between. They're not permanently affixed to the home. And those, if they start a fire, they are significant, mm-hmm. and they're difficult to put out, and they burn extremely hot. So, you know, we're seeing reports from other areas of the country with a lot of e-bike issues. You know, they're improperly stored. They get damaged. People bring them in their home. They keep them by the door because, hey, the wheels are filthy. And then they catch fire right out the door. And in some cases, in apartments and so forth, that's these people's only, you know, real egress to get out easily and safely without bailing out a window. And a lot of people are getting hurt because of it. So we just, again, caution folks with, you know, any of those things that have energy capacity could lead to a fire or failure that can cause your problems in your home or personally. So, you know, just try to do the right things with them. And if you think it's damaged or problematic, then replace it. Don't use the wrong charger or any old charger for it, because you can get runaway charging. If it's a cheap $2 charger on your brand new iPhone 15, maybe you should rethink, you know, why is it so cheap? Maybe it's going to cause a problem, and we're seeing those things. So,
Cluster Fire Chief Eric Smith with words of wisdom. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.